a soul descended upon those that are living.
From the Brown Book, Death in June. How about that? This is War Radio, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our big website is resist.com. Our email address is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. And if you'd like to receive our daily, sometimes every other day, sometimes every two or three days, our area update on the internet, simply email to warmetzger@sbcglobal.net and say subscribe, and we'll put you on our little rumor line there about what's really going on in the world. Yes, we will. Now, don't forget to subscribe to the big war newspaper tabloid. That's 20 pages of shocking, racist information on racial separatism. And a lot of cartoons for you to look at, too. We love our cartoons, yes. And it's $30 a year in the United States. That's 12 issues. It's $40 in Soviet Kanukistan. That's Canada. And it's $50 in all other countries, and make those from other countries, U.S. Funds only. And, of course, you can pay by PayPal also. It's the most racist newspaper in the world. I can't think of any paper that's more informative, more educational, more entertaining than War. If you know of one, let me know, because some of them, they got some new ones out there, and they just cry about the niggas are going to get us, the Jews are going to get us. Well, we expose that kind of stuff too, but we don't run a newspaper with cutout articles on Negro bestiality. We know there's plenty of Negro bestiality. We don't have to be shown it in a magazine or a newspaper every day, right? That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, I figured you'd like that, and so we're waiting on Dr. Kaldenberg here, and we've got another group of people that somehow managed to crawl through the bushes and get up here to the bunker through that mestizo lion down there, and we're glad to have him here. How about that? Well, thank you, too. Right, that's a good crowd. You know, every time we come on with a show on the internet and old Morris Dees happens to download it, we planted a bug in his office, and this is what we hear. Wow, that really drives the whole Morris D crazy. I hear he's all upset about the Sierra Club now. He wants to get on the board of directors of the Sierra Club because he got suspicions that some racists are trying to get on the governing board of the Sierra Club. Well, I got news for you, buddy. There's all kinds of members of the Sierra Club are racist and have been for a long time. Many of them... We don't put out cards for people to carry because that just gets them in trouble. But we've had many, many Sierra Club members that are also associates of War. So eat your heart out, boy. Well, I'm a little upset that our candidate for the United States presidency, the Right Reverend Al Sharpton, isn't doing too good. And I'm a little disappointed in his black brothers that didn't turn out to vote for this auspicious... handsome, good-looking black guy who wanted to be the president of the United States and said one of the first things he would do is fire Greenspan, the Jew, from the Federal Reserve. Well, from what I understand, from my study over the years, Greenspan, as the head of the Federal Reserve Board, is actually much more powerful than any president, so I think that old Reverend Al shouldn't have said that, because, boy, he should have kept that quiet till he got ready to do it, because the minute he said he was going to get rid of Greenspan, whoa, his polls went way down, and I don't even think he got 1% in South Carolina, or was it North Carolina? I get them mixed up, where they said that all those black people are voting for a rich white boy, this Edwards kid. You know, that claims he's a working class guy that got millions. They all do that, don't they? Oh, Kerry, all of them. They all claim they're, oh, yeah, I started out as a working man, and I was a war hero, and I was this, and I was that. Bullshit. Well, I guess old Dr. Kaldenberg, the knower of all truth, has eluded all the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans and the Negroids and everybody. And he's in the building, and I think he's on his way in here to the studio, boys and girls. Give him a big hand. Yeah, there we go. Giving a big hand to old Dr. Kaldenberg. Here he is. Well, Dr. Kaldenberg, I hear old Morris Dees. I was just telling the people he's trying to get on the board of the Sierra Club. You reminded me of that, and I'll tell you, he just called in here, and this is what he had to say. Oh, man, he was really upset, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. So they're trying to keep him off the board of the Sierra Club?
Yeah, because he said that he had discovered there are racists in the Sierra Club. Well, yeah, I told the people before you came in, I said, look, I've known that for years.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of people wrote me and said, yeah, I'm a member of the Sierra Club, too.
And Earth First, you know, Folksburg, the guy everybody up there was a member of Earth First, practically.
Yeah, sure. So,
mention.
Boy, he's going to have a hard time there, old Morris Dees,
yeah.
He tries to get into that. What else is new? We've got a big week here. Boy, lots of stuff.
You know, you hear Mel Gibson, I guess, have been going at him because of his movies and stuff. Well, he was on some TV show with Diane Sawyer, that weird bitch. And he said that Christianity was an anti-racist religion. But one thing that was good is that Foxman tried to get him to denounce his father because I guess his father said the Holocaust was a bunch of bullshit. And Mel Gibson, you know, refused flat. He said he was tight with his father, and he said those people are just trying to make a wedge between me and my dad. He was talking about Foxman and ADL.
Well, of course.
And then Foxman, I guess, in today's the paper, they said that Foxman, I guess, went to Vatican City and wanted to meet with the Pope, and the Pope, you know, he went to the Pope to denounce the movie and stuff, and he wouldn't, the Pope wouldn't meet with him, and the bishops, I guess he talked to some archbishop, and some archbishop said, well, we don't see anything wrong with the movie. Because, you know, I guess it's not if anything, it's anti-Roman, because they have the Romans as these devils that are killing God and crucifying God and beating him with whips.
Yeah, they blame it all on the Romans.
Yeah, it should be. It's an anti-pagan movie. It's fucking not an anti-Jew movie, because Jesus in the movie was a fucking king of the Jews.
So well, be I got to be honest with you. I'm all for the Romans.
Oh, yeah.
I think they should have kicked all our asses out back in the desert.
Yeah, even though Jesus didn't exist, and I'm having a hard time even believing that Pontius Pilate exists, because, you know, I collect Roman and Greek coins and stuff, and there are no coins with Pontius, you know, all the governors and their wives and their daughters and their sisters and their generals and their best friends all got their mugs on Roman coins. I can't find any with Pontius Pilate. You know, they'll sell them, they'll say a quote-unquote Pontius Pilate era coin, and it just has, like, writing on it. It doesn't mention Pontius Pilate at all or anything.
You think we're being scammed about him, too?
It's kind of weird that, of all, you know, the Romans had egos. You know, they liked putting their mugs and their families and everything on those coins. I guess maybe Pontius Pilate didn't have an ego or something, because I sure can't find any that, you know, that they sell them as error, you know, Pontius Pilate error, but then, you know, but they never have any with any mention of them on the coins.
So isn't that something? We've got two nobodies that are making history here.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but anyhow.
And kind of King Herod died, you know, like, you know, if he would have been around in Jesus' time, I think he would have been about 200 and some years old, you know.
We should be suspect of anything that comes out of Middle East. Any writing, any tablet, any cuneiform, you name it. Anything that the Semites had their fingers on, including Christianity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Question at all.
Especially Christian. But that makes me sad, because Pontius Pilate was my hero, and now I'm doubting if he ever existed.
Oh, man. But whoever put the words in there, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, I was playing Death in June.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Death in June?
Yeah, I think that was even my CD.
Your CD?
Yeah.
Where in the hell?
Isn't that the Brown one?
The Brown Book. Is that your CD?
Yeah.
I must have found it in some of your stuff or something.
True.
Yeah.
Well,
I love the swipe crap.
Yeah, that's a good CD.
Yeah, well, we'll play some more later in the show. I went to a couple of those concerts.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I went to one in Beverly Hills, right down from the Museum of Tolerance.
Well, I was in one.
And that's when they wouldn't let Boyd Rice sing.
Oh,
they said Death in June, but Boyd Rice was banned because I think two Reds complained about him to the owner.
It might have had something to do with him wearing that swastika armband and the black uniform, wasn't it? Well, he did one time, I know. I've seen him in it.
I'm not sure when that was.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was doing that in the Beverly Hills.
Maybe not, but I was in San Francisco, and there were plenty of SS runes and all kinds of Nazi stuff in the hall. And what was so funny was that all these little teeny boppers were coming in there dressed in that black clothes and white faces and all that kind of stuff, and a whole bunch of them were Jews.
Well, remember that time we went up to the White Trash A-Go-Go in Beverly Hills? You saw a Radio Werewolf?
Yeah.
And this one Jew got up and started, you know, I guess Radio Werewolf, Nicholas Schreck, they had a thing where they're singing Triumph of the Will, and they were showing, like, swastikas on the walls, and they had these SS guys come out. It was werewolf masks, because they were supposed to be the werewolf corps, and they were goose-stepping around the stage on werewolf masks. This one Jew jumped up and goes, I'm a Jew, I don't allow that. He's going to jump up on stage, and Marty grabbed him and threw him around and kind of tossed him around. And after that, every Jew in the audience started Sieg Heiland, because he didn't want to be tossed around by Marty.
They want to get out of there alive.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it was that way over in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
I think as long as they could handle it, the Jews were right in there participating in all that crap. And they wanted to be in on it, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's why the Jews hate
They had to pass a law that no Jew could hang a swastika outside of their house.
Because all these Jews, Well, maybe just to try to save their ass.
Oh, yeah.
You know they'll do that.
Yeah.
Oh, they're coming after me, man. Let me hang a swastika out.
Yeah, if we ever got in power, there would be a swastika hanging out of the side of the Museum of Tolerance.
That's right. They would, in a heartbeat.
They were our comrades all along.
And the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, yeah. He'd be the biggest Nazi. He'd want to run concentration camps.
You could put him in charge of the whole concentration thing.
So he'd rip the gold teeth out of the Jews and stuff.
Yeah, right. He would, man. He would. Well, as far as the Mel Gibson thing, the more they pick on him, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
The more the Jews, Foxman, you see, is the best thing we got going.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
almost as good as the Jewish defense
thing. Well, you know what's funny is no Catholics had any problem with the Jews at all until the ADL started attacking this movie, and now automatically the Catholics have a problem with the Jews.
Right.
And, it's just like the blacks, you know. They had no problem with the Jews at all until the ADL started attacking the Nation of Islam, and all of a sudden, blacks are having problems with the Jews.
Yeah, well, it's going to get, they're going to be going around in a small, tight circle.
Oh, yeah.
Because, especially when the Pope wouldn't meet with him.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny.
I love, if there was an ADL, I think maybe we'd have to create
one. Oh, yeah.
It
would seem like if you were a Jew, you'd realize that there's a real problem that you fuckers can't get along with anybody.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and
you got problems with the Indians, the Hindus. You got them with the Muslims. You got them with the Catholics.
Right. Yeah. So anyhow, that's about it for mail. And
you gonna go see the movie?
Yeah, the movie. I like movies like that. I want to see the guy get struck by lightning.
Oh, that's not it. That's not gonna be in the movie.
What do you mean?
That was
the star of the movie got struck by lightning when he was hanging on the cross.
Yeah, Thor got tired of his bullshit and just nailed him.
Oh, my God.
I'm tired of this Christian crap.
Oh, come on. That was from the Lord God Almighty.
Hitting his own son as child?
No, perking him up. He thought he was going to die.
Oh, like Frankenstein.
Yeah, he was dying. So.
Because he's dead on the cross. Here, I'll bring you back. He's going to resurrect him with lightning.
Yeah, so anyhow, I saw the guy on TV last night. I've seen that actor before.
Uh-huh.
And he was a little, he didn't know quite what to say about that.
Well, when he was up on, when Jesus was up on the cross, the first thing he said was, "Look, Mary, I can see my house from here."
Oh, come on. You're terrible. Well, at least the baby liked it. That lady got that baby over there in the audience.
That's the baby Jesus, or perhaps the baby Satan.
Oh, man, you're getting a sick puppy, man. You're a sick puppy. How'd you like this Midas Rife pamphlet?
Yeah, I saw that on your desk there.
It's one of these little ones like Schick Publications.
Yeah, remember that Christian one that used to always make those things about some faggot guy discovering Jesus or something?
Yeah, or some terrible neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
Some racist Klansman. Yeah. Well, Midas Rife, The Survival of the Fittest, and it's put out by somebody called Evil Now.
Cool.
EvilNow.com.
Better now than later.
In Chicago. But it's a cute little missile that could be handed out. And,
it's got nice colors. It is white, black, and red.
Yeah. Every organism, every human being must conquer or serve. This is the ultimatum.
That's true.
Right. It is the moral principles that manufacture beggars. It is golden rules that glorify meekness. It is statute laws that make spaniels of men.
Whoa.
I like that. And I think I'll get some more of those. And because they say I'm evil and terrible anyhow.
Handing out religious tracts.
Yeah. Good. I could stand beside the Jehovah's Witnesses on the corner. Yeah. Maybe go house to house.
That's true.
Might even get a donkey.
Wear a nice little tie and have a 10-speed bike.
Well, I need to dress in black and have a black shirt and red tie and a little powder on my face and say, "I'm from Evil Now." You know, the Catholic Church has really fallen on hard times.
Oh, yeah, you know that bishop in Arizona, they had a whole bunch of child molesting cases, and he blocked all the investigation, and now he got convicted for hit and run. He ran over somebody and killed him and ran away. He didn't even give them their last rites or anything like a good Catholic's supposed to be. And now the FBI is talking about, he's going to get 3 years for hit and run driving. Now they're going to talk about investigating him for blocking the child molesting case. So he may get in for obstruction of justice.
Boy, oh boy.
Especially if he talks to the FBI, he's dead meat. Because, they'll get him in a lie and then he's cooked.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I've heard a lot more about this child molestation stuff, and then the Catholics call in on the radio and say, "Well, you're picking on the Catholics." Well, it's obvious that because priests can't marry, this is a, you know, this is not
yeah.
natural
oh, yeah.
for men not
oh, yeah.
to have some sex.
Well, who else but a faggot would want to go to a place where you hang around with a lot of guys and never be around women? You know, Kelly's Monastery, you go up there and you're with a bunch of guys all the time. You go there 20 years just hanging out with guys.
Well, one of the talk show guys on the radio this morning said that's the only place left where fags should go.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And boy, I'll tell you, boy, he got calls about that. But
yeah.
anyhow...
Oh, yes. Well, yes.
Of course, there's rabbis do it and preachers do it, but you see, they're married,
yeah.
and even though married guys can be perverts and you know and all that kind of pedophiles and everything, they're not as likely to be as a homosexual, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the big question is, are faggots attracted to Catholic Church, or does joining the Catholic Church and becoming a priest turn you into a faggot?
The lack of pussy does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I think it's a little bit both.
What did I say?
Yeah. Oh, they said that there's over 11,000 people who right now have come forward and accused the Catholic Church of child molesting.
Yeah.
And of those 11,000, not one of them was somebody that the Catholic Church exposed, because they have internal investigation.
Right.
But they have never exposed any Catholic. Well, this is just in the United States. They have never exposed one priest, even though they have files and files of them. So now, like, they're going after the L.A. bishop, and they're trying to get all his records.
Mahoney?
Yeah, Mahoney. They're trying to get all the internal records about the investigation.
Well, this is all conspiracy.
They're trying to hide behind God.
When we do that, we go to jail.
Well, yeah, they're trying to hide behind God because they're saying, oh, they're confessions and stuff. But in the Catholic Church, when you have a confession, they don't write it down. You know, they've got records of all this stuff. That's an internal investigation. A confession is when you tell a priest, and it's between you, the priest, and God. This is an internal investigation of the church, and they got all these records and stuff, and they're trying to say, oh, you know, religious rights and stuff like that.
You must listen to the same radio show I do.
Yeah.
Because that's what was being talked about this morning, about the priest confession and the whole
thing. Which radio show is that?
KFI.
I do listen to that. Yeah, but I wasn't listening today.
Yeah. Well, it was on this morning.
I was listening to Howard Stern today.
Well, on this morning. Oh, yeah, they had my favorite guy on there.
Yeah.
Who was it?
Kurt Waldheim.
Kurt Waldheim. Yeah. I called you up.
Once.
How come you call me up in the middle of it when it's almost over?
Because I was going to a doctor's appointment, and he just came like, holy shit, tell him how to hear this.
Yeah, I ran out, got a tape, put it in, and 3 minutes later, it was over.
No, that's too bad.
Yeah, he is the greatest.
That's what you get for watching, listening to Bill Handel and not Howard Stern. You choose the wrong Jew.
Yeah, but every time I turn to Howard Stern, he's talking about really yicky stuff, and I'm not into yicky stuff.
Depends on what kind of yicky stuff.
Well, I like regular yicky. He's into abnormal yicky.
Well, yeah, he's into a lot of, like, what do they call that, butt ring toss or whatever.
And farting and all that.
It's funny a little while, but I mean constantly.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I could tune in every day and get Danny Carver or Kurt Waldheim, at least a little bit of it, I'd tune in every day.
Yeah.
But most of the time you tune in, and in fact he's worse now since he's not married.
Oh yeah, well I think he was just trying to irritate his wife, because his wife was a go-to-synagogue Jew, so he had a lot of the racial stuff just to piss her off. Now he's divorced.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to piss her off.
No,
doesn't need to piss her off anymore.
And another thing, what was the guy that left the show?
Jackie the Joke Man.
I like Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie.
I think
good.
Jackie added a lot to that show.
Yeah.
The guy that got on there now.
Artie. Yeah, all he talks about is gambling and drinking. And acting. He's a bit actor, and he acts in shitty movies.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Jackie was pretty funny.
Jackie was hilarious, and Jackie would come out strong on the race issue, too.
Yeah.
You know.
One good show is The Tough Crowd. That's a good one.
Oh, man, have they been going. I heard they got in trouble there. I'm mad at them up in Canada or something.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, but they talk, boy, they talk race every night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And they really get into it.
But they
cover themselves by laughing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, they got blacks and Jews on there, so then they go on and they talk about blacks and Jews for most of the show.
Yeah.
You got one Irish guy ragging on the niggers and the cops.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, right. So I get a kick out of that show.
Yeah, and that John Stewart.
The Daily Show.
Yeah, Daily Show.
Boy, he goes after those politicians.
Oh, yeah. He really rips in the bush.
That's funny, and then his moment of zen at
the
end of the show.
That's good.
Now, wait a minute. This is our show. What the hell are we doing pushing other shows?
Well, people, when they're not listening to us, they listen to other
shows. Well, they should be. But there's so many shows up there on the satellite of us. they can keep listening to them day after day after day, and they can download them, tape them, put them on CDs, and listen to them 24 hours a day, and not be going after these other shows.
Is that what you do?
No. I got other things
that's
to do,
true.
Man.
That's
I've got to sweep the floor around
that's
here.
True.
Now, boys and girls, we're taking a break. It's the time in our show when we get serious and get mystical and bow our heads and listen to information that is good for your soul.
A thousand centuries ago, we went into a camp to inoculate some children. We left the camp after we had inoculated the children from polio. And this old man came running after us and he was crying. He couldn't say. We went back there and they had come and hacked off every inoculated arm. There they were in a pile. A pile of little arms. And I remember I cried, I wept like some grandmother. I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I want to remember it. I never want to forget it. I never want to forget. And then I realized, like I was shot. Like I was shot with a diamond. A diamond bullet right through my forehead. And I thought, my God, the genius of that. The genius. The will to do that. Perfect, genuine, complete, crystalline, pure. And then I realized, they were stronger than we because they could stand it. These were not monsters. These were men, trained cadres. These men who fought with their hearts, who have families, who have children, who are filled with love. But they had the strength to do that. If I had 10 divisions, of those men, then our troubles here would be over very quickly. You have to have men who are moral and at the same time who are able to utilize their primordial instincts to kill without feeling, without passion. Without judgment. Because it's judgment that defeats us.
Well, that was the religious part of our show for all you lone wolves out there, and we'll be putting some more of this religious in nature information on for you. Probably every week here, so take it to heart, write it down, tape it to your forehead, and go about your business. Well, I think it works out to have our little moment of Zen in the chapel each week, and I think that we ought to read it just a little bit each week from now on from the holy book, Might is Right.
That's true.
Yeah, so not a lot, but a little bit, just to remind people of where they're at.
Except we should have a little bit of Asatru instead of Zen.
Who's Asatru?
That's kind of like Aryan Zen.
Oh, well, I'm just kidding about Zen. I don't know, but I sort of like that idea that you just, what Zen is when you say, you ask them a question. I forget how it goes, but say, you ask them the question back, and I can't remember. On with the show. Come on.
Well, speaking of something groovy and Zen, you know, all these chemical warfare and stuff that they're doing in the Wogland. I guess, a train full of deadly chemicals crashed in Iran and killed, they say maybe now it's up to 200 logs.
Wow. But that ain't enough.
Well, it's a start.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was listening on the radio. You know, I listen to the radio a lot, even in the middle of the night.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyhow, they're talking about Saddam Hussein and, you know, how bad he was, but for going after the Kurds.
Yeah.
But the Kurds allied with Iran against Iraq.
Yeah.
And then we say it's wrong for him to go after the Kurds? I mean, if the Mormons sided with the French or something and tried to attack the rest of the country... Mm-hmm. What would we do to the Mormons after we got done?
Right, especially if they were using nerve gas.
Well, hell yes.
Well, the weird thing about it is the United States is the one that set up Hussein and the Ba'ath Party, and basically they were supporting them when they were fighting Iran, and now that they fell out of favor, now the whole Iranian war was an Iraqi war crime, even though the United States was backing them during the war.
Yeah.
Same way with Bin Laden. You know, United States gave Bin Laden what was over like $1 billion to fight the Russians in the Afghan war.
Yeah.
So United States is the one that basically set up Al-Qaeda and stuff to fight the communists, you know, fight the Russians. And now that he's quote-unquote the public enemy number one, the United States had nothing to do with it. Down the memory hole.
I heard a guy call in on the radio, and they asked him, "What do you do for a living?" He said, "Well, I'm employed, and I build these weapons for the U.S. military." And he was so proud of himself, you know. It made me make my ass sick, you know. Yeah. This guy is building these weapons, not so really
drop on children.
Don't want to take any responsibility for what those weapons do. Yeah. You know?
Well, that's all I know. When I was in college, when I was really young, there was a guy that was a World War II bomber pilot and stuff. And this is before I was in the race movement, but I was basically kind of getting the third degree of what exactly people were you dropping those bombs on?
Yeah.
You know, and he'd always him-haunt it. His big defense was Hitler. You know, Hitler was very bad. That's why we had to go to
bomb the women and children.
You know, Hamburg and burn alive little kids.
And their excuse was because the women and children supported Hitler.
Yeah.
So we had to bomb the women and children.
They firebombed Dresden, and their big defense was that Dresden was Hitler's favorite city in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, Dresden, all they did was make China dolls and shit there, you know. And a lot of people, you know, because... I guess Churchill told the Germans that it was a safe city and stuff. So a lot of the
open
Germans,
city,
open city. Yeah, they sent their wives and kids there. And a lot of Americans. So you know, what's his name? Kurt Vonnegut, who wrote Slaughterhouse-Five.
Yeah,
he was an American POW, and they sent him to Dresden. He was there during the fire. But that book, Slaughterhouse-Five, is about the bombing of Dresden.
But there was one little thing that I dug out. Mm-hmm. Just the last year, that shed a little bit more light on that.
What's that?
In Dresden was the central command of the intelligence division that monitored all the frequencies, radio frequencies, and all the transmissions in Europe for the Germans.
Oh, really?
Now,
where'd you read that at?
It was in one of the historical books. Mm-hmm. That, you know how you find things out, you know, bits and pieces. Yeah. Now, when I read that, I said, well, now, wouldn't that be a target? I mean, you know, they had, you know, hundreds of receivers and all that. They were listening to all the English traffic, American traffic, and everything else. That would be a target as far as I'm concerned. But you never hear them talk about it.
Yeah.
And, that, you know, half the time, the only way I learn things...
Probably because the government just thought of it. Hey, we got an idea. Let's say that all the German communications were in Dresden. That's why we bombed them.
I don't know. I think this was sort of off the wall how it came out about that. So, but I would say if that were true...
Yeah, that's the big thing, if it were true. If it came out of the United States government, I wouldn't...
Well, it'd be pretty easy to prove one way or the other by just talking to the old Germans that knew about it.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, something that big with antennas
100
feet tall all over the place, you couldn't hide it.
I doubted it because, I've never heard of it.
See, you're the victim. You're the victim of anti-American propaganda.
No, I'm not.
And you are genetically inclined to believe everything the Nazis tell you.
That's true.
Oh, man. Well, I've known some Nazis.
We both have known some Nazis
in this country that we wouldn't believe anything they said.
That's true.
Yeah. remember, in researching history, Dr. Kaldenberg, mm-hmm. you can't let anything bias you too much. If you're going to get the real, if you're going to render down the lard and get the real thing, you got to take the chips, let them fall where they may. And sometimes
The thing is, everything I've read about Dresden, that's the first, you're out of your mouth, the first time I've ever heard that.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of things out of my mouth you've never heard because
they're not true.
I dig deep. Well, why? You know, if I was going to lie, I'd lie about something a lot more important than that. But when I find a little bitty glitch, mm-hmm. and I forget some of the other things, that I should write all this down, that I find in little obscure in back magazines or something. I might even have been in Looker Life magazine, and people skip right over this stuff and they forget it.
Well, just because it's in a book or a magazine doesn't mean it's true. Look, all the crap they said about us, and people say, oh, I found this obscure thing about Tom Metzger, and it's got to be true.
Probably is. No, I don't. Well, wait a minute, though. I mean, if someone like the revisionist, seriously, over there in Germany, just found some of these Germans that were in the communications divisions mm-hmm. and so forth, that it would be easy to prove it one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Either it's either they had a big communication listening mm-hmm. center, or they didn't. You couldn't hide it.
Just like either Adolf Hitler was out there flying in a UFO.
And they kept great records, the Germans, and that's one of their mm-hmm. problems. Yeah. You know, they had to write everything down. Yeah. You know, so anyhow, what I'm saying is that generally we should never allow ourselves to become so committed to one way of thinking mm-hmm. that we cannot find a piece of information and evidence and say, well, let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're just a lackey for one side or the other.
Yeah, but still, just one note in a book.
Hey, well, let me give you an explanation. Mm-hmm. When Hitler attacked Russia, well, number one, mm-hmm. he'd been, that's another thing, he'd been on amphetamines for a long time, mm-hmm. but this doctor was giving him. So that makes you unstable, makes you paranoid. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, answers why he made the mistake of attacking Russia. But then the right wing comes up and say, well, they discovered papers in a safe in Poland or something, that all the stuff that Russia was going to invade Germany. But that don't make any sense when you understand
the logistics. Stalin wasn't saying, because he was, after he signed the treaty with Germany, he stacked the Russian-German border with Russian soldiers, but then when the Germans responded, Hitler stayed in his basement for 2 weeks because he was so depressed because Hitler attacked him. But
Stalin did.
Yeah, Stalin. What would Stalin expect Hitler to do?
Well, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Now, let me be the devil's advocate yeah. here. What would you do if you saw your neighbor over here building a bunker, putting up machine guns, putting tanks along his fence, marching guys back and forth, and you were over here with nothing, and even though you had some kind of an agreement and mm-hmm. say, hey, we'll get along, wouldn't you want to put a few troops at the fence just to sort of keep an eye on things?
Yeah, that's why Hitler and Bates.
Bullshit. That's not the logistics, and you can uh-huh. read that in the history of the Soviet Union, that they were spread very thin. They were not. That's why Hitler captured thousands and thousands of them. Thousands. He just rolled right over them.
Well, you know, too, a lot of the Russians weren't really enthusiastic about being a communist. They didn't like, most of them didn't like Stalin at all.
No, but if they attack your homeland, you're going to fight.
Yeah.
And you know, 20 million of them died.
That's what happened, because a lot of them, there was a general that he surrendered with all his troops to Hitler. And then Hitler's response was that he didn't want inferior Slavs fighting next to German soldiers, so they threw
right.
him in a concentration camp.
Right.
And a lot of it at first, that the Russian people and the Ukrainian people, they wanted to join the Third Reich, except the Germans had this whole stupid thing of German supremacy, and they wouldn't let the Slavs join until they were losing the war.
Well, Hitler didn't start that, you know. That Germanic thing was, they fought over that. The Slavs and the Germans fought many times in history. And any politician that ran for office at that time, they all had to say they're anti-Slavic and so forth. So Hitler didn't dream that up.
That's what the big thing they didn't like about Bismarck is Bismarck let the Austrians in. A lot of the Austrians were Slavs and stuff, and they thought that even Mein Kampf says that if the Germans married the Austrians, it would increase the genetic fortitude of the Austrian people, but it would drag down the Germans.
Well, this is such an important part of history that I won't leave it go, and I won't give into the right wing either, that the one reason or another, the attack on Russia was the death knell for the white race. That was one of the greatest errors, under the color of fighting communism, quote unquote, that ever happened, because of, we're talking about millions and millions of white people, and think out of those 20 million Russians that died, how many were white?
Oh, yeah. No
and problem. Then we had some guy emailed me, and he said, "Well, these Russians, when they came in there, they were so brutal to the Germans. What the hell would you expect?" I mean, they had been invaded.
Yeah.
Forget the communists. Their country was invaded. 20 million Russians died, and you don't expect them to be pissed?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I would too, man. If I'd seen my family, my house burned down, and my wife killed, my kids raped, and all of this, you've been invaded, and then I got a chance to go back at the other side. So, there's a lot of this stuff that is... They don't use common sense, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that was a whole big mess.
So anyhow, the attack, and it all started, I believe, and I think it could be pretty well proven, with Hitler being given meth. Mm-hmm. And that doctor was pumping him full of meth. In the beginning, he was winning, everything was going fine, but then that meth made him paranoid. And made him think Russia was going to attack him. And I think that's the very reason he did that. And he went against all his advisors in the big military advisors. They all were against it.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, that's what created the spy cell that eventually brought Hitler down, was his own high command.
I think a lot of it is the Night of the Long Knives, because a lot of the SA and stuff, like Rome's big thing is, Praetorian socialism. He wanted to have national socialism in Germany, and once you secure the revolution, then think about exporting it and stuff. And then Himmler had this whole thing about living room, living space, and he wanted to go to the east so the Germans could expand and shit like that.
Yeah, but he didn't want to go peacefully, because I don't think the Russians would have had a problem with vast areas and nobody in Russia.
Yeah.
Just people coming in and say, "Hi, let's settle down here and work with the people." I don't think there'd have been a big problem, but they wanted to colonize and oppress the Russians.
Well, there's a story about that SS officer with Koch, and he was in the Ukraine, and this Ukrainian girl, was welcoming the Nazis as liberators, and she brought a bunch of flowers to give him, and he bitch slapped her, knocked her down on the ground.
Yeah.
It was inferior Slav giving something.
Yeah, we need a lot of revisionist history with the Nazis, and not just because we like a lot of things they did, especially before they went to war.
Mm-hmm.
They did some very good things in Germany. We can't allow ourselves to say, "Oh well, everything they did was right," or "Hitler is a god" and all this kind of stuff, because men make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But here again, I say that sooner or later they're going to have to admit that. Hitler being administered these crazy drugs from the doctor. I forget his name. I read the book.
Yeah.
And then meth. And you know what meth does to people?
And
he was taking a lot of it.
Yeah.
So, and then all of a sudden, let's attack Russia. All the generals said, whoa.
I think Stalin was just naturally crazy.
No, I think Stalin was a perfect sociopath.
Yeah.
I don't think he was crazy. I think he was absolutely resolute, and if anybody got in his way, he'd kill him.
Yeah. Well, the attack on the Ukraine, though, is one minute he said that all Ukrainians were anarchists, and they were all fascists, and they're all in league with the Japanese. And
Yeah, well, maybe he was.
Every time he turned around, Stalin would come up. He was an atheist, and he went pagan and Christian and blah blah. He just kept bouncing around.
He was only in that Christian thing when he was very young.
Yeah, but all his life he was just bouncing around from one thing to another.
Well, guess what? We know a few people like that too, don't we?
Like who?
Bounce around from one thing to another.
Like who?
I don't know. We know a lot of people like that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
a
very common. That's
a
very common thing, But I know one thing. He knew how to handle the Jews. He did too. Read that book I've got. You're out there. You ought to send me $20 and get that book, Stalin Against the Jews, mm-hmm. and read how he handled Jews. I mean, his wife, he married a Jew, mm-hmm. and she gave him trouble, and he iced her. mm-hmm. And but he would he'd give one Jew Hero of the USSR medal on him, mm-hmm. and then he'd go out and waste 1,000.
Yeah.
If Hitler would have played a little cooler like that. I think he might have still been in power a long time. What do you think?
I don't know, because a lot of those books are written by Jews, and a lot of them are just fantastic history.
Oh, man, you are really, they've done a number on you, boy.
No.
I mean, you know,
you believe everything the system books
No, says? But if a book doesn't absolutely support your ideology.
No, I don't think that.
Well, what do you think about that? Have you read that book?
I've looked through it.
No, you looked at the pictures.
No, I looked through it, and I realized it was written by the enemy of our race, so I don't take it very seriously.
This is getting ridiculous.
Well, a lot of these guys in the fucking movement, they'll read like an enemy book about people in the movement, and they believe it like it's fucking gospel.
Well, that's what I'm accusing you of, you know?
No, you're the one that's doing it.
I'm bringing up new books that you haven't even read yet that show new light. Like,
mm-hmm.
if you read Dr. Morrell, the book about Dr. Morrell, mm-hmm. and what he was pumping Hitler for.
Well, I didn't
it's a wonder Hitler could even operate or think, but by the end of the mm-hmm. war, he was so sick, and of course mm-hmm. he had... Well, it was not Parkinson's disease, but I guess it was.
Yeah, they say Parkinson's.
His one arm was shaking. Everything. He was a mess, and that Dr. Morrell was shooting him up every day. If they shot you up with as much meth as Hitler was getting, you'd go berserk too, right?
If it's true. You don't know if it's true.
How much meth have you been taking?
Well, 100 pounds a second.
Ah! Anyhow, there's a lot of information out there. Nobody knows absolutely.
And most of it's misinformation.
All I'm saying is, no matter what you say, it was the greatest, terriblest thing to the white race that ever happened.
Yeah.
Because Hitler had destroyed Germany and put the pro-Jews in power. Yeah. If they had not attacked Russia mm-hmm. and kept Russia out of the war and with the treaty... England couldn't have done a damn thing. France and all that couldn't have done a damn thing. And the United States would have never got into the war. And look at all the millions of white people that would have been saved. We'd still have our eugenics programs in this country. We'd still have racial segregation, separation. We'd still have all those things. But everything bad that's come out of the war for the white race came out of World War II.
Well, you know, the World War II basically destroyed the race movement in America. There was a strong race movement in America. Then all of a sudden, Pearl Harbor and everything just shut down. You know, people were going to jail and people were hiding under their rugs.
Yeah, but every time you hear something come up that the liberals or even the conservatives don't like, say, well, that's like Hitler would do. Today, every time you say anything, oh, that's what Hitler would do. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't mean that. I wouldn't do that. I mean, you know, so they have retarded,
he's the new Satan.
Even a stem cell. Well, he's bigger than Satan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he outdoes Satan.
Yeah.
But like the stem cell thing and cloning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that's like Hitler. We need a clone about... 50 million white kids. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
I want them all to look like me too.
Oh God!
And the girls goodness. And the girls got to be like me with a wig on.
Oh God! Have mercy.
So, what do you think would have happened? See, if they'd have had the treaty and kept the treaty, and there had been an invasion of Russia, wouldn't this have saved lots of Jews?
Well, that,
but on the other hand, wouldn't Stalin and Hitler maybe teamed up and killed them all off?
No, I don't know, because if you look at the dates of the Holocaust, officially the Holocaust began with Kristallnacht in 1939. That's basically when World War II started. And the death camps, when the kicking it in, didn't start until 1943. What happened there? That's when Germany started losing the war.
and
in the peacetime, you know, like... during the 30s and stuff, they weren't gassing any Jews during peacetime. It's just what they were doing is, Andersonville in the South.
Right.
It was a concentration camp for Union soldiers, And they treated them well until the Confederacy started losing the war. Then they started moving these Union soldiers back and back and back away from the line because they didn't want them right against the front where they could pin the Confederate soldiers between the POWs and the troops. So a lot of time, you know, a lot of them, they had all kinds of disease and a lot of them died. But Germany did the exact opposite. You know, Germany pushed all the Jews up to the Russian front, left them there. Why in the hell would they leave them there? Because they were going to send them to Madagascar and Stalin wouldn't let them through. If they really planned to kill them, what they would have done, they would have taken, like, Anne Frank. You know, they moved to, what, to, like, 3 concentration camps?
Yes, all this detail. Right.
What they would have killed her in Holland. They would have got a bomber, go out to the ocean, and just dropped these Jewish ashes over the ocean where some places are 12 miles deep. Good luck trying to find their ashes.
Yeah.
But they put all these Jews up to the front line where they got the German soldiers, you got the communists coming, the Red Army coming, and you got behind them, you got all these concentration camps, and the Jews are starting to rebel and stuff because it's overcrowded, and you got right in between the German army. You know, what kind of a great master plan is that? Let's squash the German army between the Red Army and angry, pissed off Jews and just squeeze them like a fucking pimple, you know? You know, it doesn't make any sense to send them to the Russian front.
The Holocaust couldn't have started with Kristallnacht. They didn't kill any Jews at Kristallnacht.
Well, officially, that's what they say, the quote-unquote Holocaust started, because that's when they...
What do you mean they? The Kikes say that.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true, the so-called Holocaust.
No, you didn't hear what I say, that the...
No, I'm not arguing with you.
The official date was 39 of Kristallnacht, and they didn't start... quote, the death camps of the 43 when Germany lost the war. Those are the two.
Well, I don't accept their dates.
Well, I didn't say that it was true or not. I said that's what they say.
Well, anyhow, I think that it would be very interesting to see what would have happened to the Jews, and because it's ironic that maybe the white race would have been saved and maybe millions of Jews might have been saved. How about that?
Well, especially, you know, the Jews would have been saved if Stalin would have let the Jews pass through and go to Madagascar. I wanted to save some.
Well, I don't think Stalin would have let him go to
Madagascar. No, he didn't. He refused to let him go.
He wanted to kill him.
Yeah, he refused
to let him. Yeah, he would have done. I think Hitler got blamed for accidentally for what Stalin really wanted to do. You know?
Well, that's why, like I say, is they were just piling all these Jews on the Eastern Front. And they were just in their camps and they were dying, you know, typhoid and shit, and they didn't have any food, and they didn't have enough, you know, they couldn't even feed the fucking Russian army in Stalingrad. They didn't have enough diesel to fly supply trains, but they were feeding all these fucking Jews in the concentration
camps. Well, the Romanians, they had a couple of ships there, and they wanted to take them over there to Israel, Palestine, and the head SS guy was trying to help the rabbi, and they appealed to New York City Jews to,
Eichmann?
Get agreement to... No, it wasn't Eichmann. It was a lower echelon.
Eichmann tried to do something similar.
Well, Eichmann, they made the deal. Eichmann, they had a conference over in Eastern Europe about transporting the Jews to Palestine, and there was a metal coin, and I've been looking for it for 20 years.
I've seen a picture of that. It's got a swastika once I started David on
the other side. David on the other side, and that's a secret everybody wants to keep quiet, you know, that he had made a deal with the Zionists.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, they wouldn't let him move the ships. They wouldn't let him take the ships and take the Jews over there.
Yeah.
So nobody gave a shit about the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody was interested in their own problem, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe if they hadn't had a problem, they'd have been interested in the Jews.
Yeah.
But every other country was having a hell of a time, and they didn't have time just to worry about the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Stalin's strategy was the same thing, like when Julius Caesar was fighting the Gauls and stuff. He surrounded this Gaul city once, and the Gauls, you know, they were starving to death, so they couldn't, they were out of supplies, and they couldn't feed, they decided they didn't want to feed the women and children and old people.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried to let them through, but Caesar wouldn't let them pass through, because that way they had to go back and weaken the army. I think that's kind of what Stalin was doing with the Jews, is he didn't want to let the Jews pass through, so they'd stay in the Third Reich and weaken the Third Reich, because you got to feed them. Or, if you don't feed them, they get typhoid and they spread, you know, the disease don't stop at the concentration camp. You know,
right.
These diseases they have in there will just go over the fence.
Well, I think at most, or at least, he wanted to keep them in the Pale of the Settlement there in Eastern Europe. And poor old Poland was really racked with Jews, and of course they hated them worse than anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody hated the Jews like Poland, and now they want Poland to pay a bunch of money to them now. They started that about a year ago. They're always looking around for somebody to take their money and blackmail them.
Well, that's what a lot of people, like in the movement, they don't, they're against Israel and they want Israel to disappear. To me, like if we get into power, we need Israel because we need a place to send these fuckers. Cause,
yeah, but
because if we don't have a place to send them, allowed the same problem Hitler did with the
Fuhrer. Well, the Jews talked about where was it? Not Zambia, but some country down in Africa. They'd actually they voted on it, mm-hmm. and it was some big country there in Africa.
Even Madagascar is where.
No, well, no, the Madagascar. The studies show they would not have. The Germans decided not to put them on mm-hmm. Madagascar because they studied it, said it would not properly support them. Now mm-hmm. that's something for people who want to kill somebody.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to kill them and it wouldn't support their society. Well, why wouldn't you just put them out there?
Yeah.
But the Germans said, no, they couldn't. There wasn't enough natural resources and so forth. So much for the genocide idea.
Yeah.
But there was another country, and I've got the books here someplace, down in Africa, a big area of Africa, much bigger than Israel,
mm-hmm.
giant, that they wanted to go to. But I guess the big shots and the Zionist thing, now, they knew they wanted this central part. You know, they wanted Israel because they could be a pain in the ass for the whole world because of its location. Yeah. And then, of course, the United States said, well, you can help us, too, because we may need you to help us protect that oil. And,
yeah.
of course, the communist thing, you know. And
Well, and then you got the fundamentalist Christian thing, because they want to regain the Holy Land from the Muslims. So
our government's been using the Jews as a cat's paw for decades and decades and decades. Yeah.
It's a two-way street. They use each other.
Yeah, they're all whores. Yeah. What you got there?
What do you think of those fag weddings in San Francisco?
Hell, I'm telling you, they're wear a flower in your hair, baby.
Yeah, I know.
If you're going to San Francisco.
It is. The funny when I was a kid, San Francisco was a city of peace and love, and now it's a city like Sodom and Gomorrah.
I am all for it.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because now these dumb bastards are going to be taxed through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
There are hardly any of them going to have any kids. Maybe they'll adopt them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have hardly any kids.
Yeah.
The government will tax the shit out of them.
And
all the divorce and all the fights in the court, the lawyers will love it. It's going to be the worst. I think it's the worst thing that ever happened to the queers.
Oh, yeah.
If they're too stupid to understand it. You're better off not to have paperwork and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, because now a poor queer can marry a rich queer and soon for alimony. And
yeah.
stuff. And they'll be gold digging, like a gold digging women. They'll be going to all the Hollywood queers so they can find a rich one, and then they'll just take them to court and clean them out like they'll be like that. What is that? Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah.
When she married that billionaire.
Think of that. Multiply. And think of what these trials are going to be like.
Oh, yeah.
We'll put them on TV like Joe Brown, some of these people.
Yeah.
It'll be, you know, Fag Time USA in the court and all of them. You took the car. You took the kids. You took the house, and I got nothing. I think it is a curse that they have willingly brought on themselves, and I think it's funny as hell. And I let them get married.
You know, it's funny. It's basically now that the wedding license is just going to be a joke and stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, pretty soon they'll just have it where you can marry your dog or something.
Sure. You're
discriminating against dog lovers.
Well, I saw a queer. He was on his way up there with his dog. He thought he'd get in on the act.
Yeah, Michael Jackson went up there with a bunch of boys and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Terry Nichols of the Oklahoma bombing fame.
Yeah.
The little crybaby wussy that was married to the log.
Yeah.
They're going to retrial him. He was trying to make a plea bargain so he wouldn't get the death penalty, but they're saying, they're not going to accept it. They want to execute him.
Yeah.
So I guess his trial is going to start March the 1st.
They got all kinds of nuts now accusing everybody else.
Yeah.
They're accusing all kinds of people. Some of the people we know.
You've been accused.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been accused.
Supposedly you and Dennis met with Timothy McVeigh.
Oh, yeah, right. At the strip club.
Yeah,
Lady Godiva's.
Was that?
You know, Bob Matthews was supposed to have been there too before.
Yeah,
you know, back in the '80s.
Yeah, because some stripper supposedly said he saw it.
So,
the three of you plotting and stuff.
Yeah, well, I think if I'd be in a strip club, I wouldn't be plotting anything except getting one of those chicks to go out with me.
They're trying to find more dollar bills.
What the hell are you talking about? I couldn't keep my mind on a plot in Lady Godiva's.
No,
man, those are beautiful women.
No kidding.
I met a real hot chick there.
You been there?
She was. Yeah, I did go to Lady.
Not with Timothy McVeigh?
No, with Dennis.
Dennis.
Well, Leon.
Some book that says that. Speaking of reading shit and book, there's a book that says that the three of you went there, and that's you were hatching out a plot because you went to that Elam City and you went to
Elam City. No, I didn't see nothing but a bunch of damned old shacks out there in that crazy Strassmeyer. I couldn't even understand. I spoke to him for 5 minutes. I didn't understand a word he said.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be the
very bad English, yeah. And he was supposed to be the key guy in all this. You know, this is going to be a zoo, this trial.
Because yeah.
Some guy now in prison has written a book, and he's telling all kinds of stuff. Then they got this J.D. Cash. He's a moron.
Oh, yeah.
He's an alcoholic. That guy's... But, you know, I feel sorry.
Is he the one that wrote the book that the three of you were supposed to be there?
Yeah, yeah, that's yeah. J.D. Cash.
And that you were at Elam City and the
yeah.
three of you...
Well, yeah, I
machine gun.
I went...
Timothy McVeigh.
No, I never fired...
Well, no, that there's a book out there that says that.
I did fire a machine gun over Joe
Greco.
Yeah, Joe Greco, the Aryan Fest. That's another story.
That was... They were legal in Oklahoma, that's why.
Well, of course they were legal, yeah.
I don't think
so. And Elam City, that was... And then they got in this place and prayed, you know, the identity thing.
Yeah.
And church.
Did you throw up?
No. But anyhow, they, you know... So I've been to Lady Godiva's. I've been to Elam City. And where else? Now, I admit that, but nobody even let me in on the deal, damn it.
God damn it.
I've been hurt ever since then, you know. They must have not trusted me. Well, Doctor, now that we've got ourselves into some really deep water, I think we better back out fast.
All right.
Are we going to say goodbye?
Yep.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good.
So long.
So long.
Happy trails.
And we're going to close out with some more Death in June.
Cool.
We desecrate, I've returned.